Man, that was tremendous and a powerful, powerful song. What a blessing and what a message as well. Of course, our missions conference starting next Sunday, Go Ye Therefore. And this morning I talked about Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And we talked about God's power, and that's what the therefore is there for, to let us to remind us that all power is given unto Him, unto Jesus. Jesus is the authority, has all the authority to send us anywhere. Amen. That's a good song. I just keep thinking about those words. And Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. That's His promise there in verse 20. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I've given you the letter. I've given you the letter from the King, the Word of God. I've given you the keys, the gospel. Amen. And all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. And now we go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we talked about His power. And I thought it was interesting. I understand Brother Tim taught in his Sunday school class about God's power today. And that's good. It's good to be kind of in the same wavelength there, and that was exciting to hear testimonies about that. And we're going to talk about the power that we receive now. But ye shall receive power, verse 8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And by the way, if you're saved, He came upon you. Amen. If you're born again, He's on you. And there's power with that. And it says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so as I think about God's authority power, I recognize there's no place I can't go. There's no place I can't give the gospel. There's no place I can't use the key. Because He has authority over heaven and over earth, and I can tell anyone. And then He says, I'm going to give you my power, my supernatural power, my dunamis, my dynamite power. And that supernatural power enables us to do what He said we are. And that is witness. That's with His power. Now, you know, many of us fail because we do it in our own power. And if we're going to witness in our own power, we do have a witness and we do have something to witness about and tell about. But the best power in the world is to say, God, I need Your power. And I want Your power. And, you know, when we preach, we need God's power. When you teach Sunday school, you need God's power. When you teach on the bus, you need God's power. When you teach in class, you need God's power. When you go soul winning, you need God's power. And to be a witness, to be the right kind of witness, He said, ye shall receive power, His power. That's not talking about you'll get a good outline. That's not talking about you'll get a lot of good illustrations. That's talking about God will give you supernatural power so you can tell people what happened and you can witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You'll bless now the preaching tonight. I pray You'll help us to be the witnesses we need to be. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I talked about the watchman. And again, as I mentioned, I'll not be preaching during missions conference, so I'm kind of dealing with the theme and talking about that this morning. And tonight, just really continuing with the idea of being a watchman, but here tonight, talking about being a witness. Now, He says He'll give us power. That's for you where you work. That's His power. That's for you with your family. I don't know, you know, it happens every year, Thanksgiving time, somebody will come, maybe it'll be a new convert or somebody just hadn't been saved long, they'll say, Pastor, I'm going to be asked to pray when our family gets together. They know I go to church, they know I go to the Baptist church, and I'm glad that still means something to folks, amen? And they're going to ask me to pray, they know our family prays, and is there anything in particular I should pray? Well, of course, I tell them you need to pray for the food. And that somehow we'll pray sometimes, and then we you know, it's praying for a meal, and we'll forget the food. I remember one time I had one of my ushers was praying for the service, And he had a deep voice, booming voice. In fact, it was a very impressionable voice. And I always told him he should have been a preacher because of his voice. And, I mean, he had a real deep voice. And he was, you know, we called on him to pray one time. Special service, a lot of people, dignitaries and everything, you know. And called on him to pray for the service. And I have no idea what he was thinking, but he apparently thought he was home. He said, "Oh, God, please bless the food now to our bodies." And, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, the power of God, in your conversation, the power of God at the dinner table when you pray for a meal. The power of God is, as I've told you before, our son was just a little guy, and my dad had Carl Hatch. He threw Carl Hatch off his porch. I mean, he threw our preacher off his porch. Many of my friends from college went to visit my dad, and Dad cussed him out. He told me, "You ever talk to me about God again, and I'm throwing you out. And then you won't be my son." And Dad, and he meant it. And yet, David, as a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, I mean, he could get away with everything. And watching God's power work on my dad through our little son. And David would say, "Grandpa, why do you smoke?" You know, and I'm thinking, "Oh, run, quick," you know. And you know, Dad just, he didn't have anything to say. And so I quit praying for the meals. I'd always say, "Dave, why don't you pray?" And I mean, he'd pray. He'd say, "Dear Jesus, I pray for the food and pray for, for this and that. And dear Jesus, help Grandpa quit smoking and help him get saved. Amen." And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. And he doesn't say a word. He doesn't say a word. Now, folks, I'm just saying God's power is available to you if you just use it as a witness for Him. You say, "Well, the people at work, they're going to get upset." Yeah, but God's power. God's power. And that's what we're talking about here. God's power before you witness is crucial. That's why we pray. That's why we pray for people to get saved. That's why you should have a prayer list of people that you know of that are not saved. You should have those written down and pray for them constantly. Pray for them. You know, when my dad finally got saved, it was at our 5-year anniversary in Bern, Indiana. We started the church, and our 5-year anniversary, Brother Hiles preached, and the place was packed. I mean, we could not fit anybody else into our auditorium. Dad was crammed into a corner. He had never come to hear me preach, never come to our church. I don't even know why he came. I think David is a little bit, he invited him. And Dad, "Okay, I'll come." And I mean, he was stuck over there against the wall. There was no aisle because we had chairs in the aisles. Fire marshal would have really had a good time. And Dad was stuck over there. Even if the message had been a message about salvation, Dad couldn't have got out and got saved. There's no way. So I mean, he's over there before the service. I talked to Brother Hiles. He sat in my office. I was just a kid. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And I said, "Are you preaching on salvation?" He said, "No, preacher." He said, I'm preaching to Christians tonight. It's a message that I'm preaching to Christians. God laid on my heart." I said, "Well, my dad's here. He's not saved." He said, you know better. You know how God works. I know how God works, but I was really disappointed. I didn't tell him. "You're not preaching then, buddy." No, I didn't do that. But make a long story short, he preached to Christians, a whole message to Christians. Nothing about salvation in the message that I can remember. And the invitation was given. Dad was jammed over in the corner. Couldn't move. I mean, there was no, you know, the altar call. I mean, it wasn't even an altar call. It was everybody just moved a foot over. And then that was the altar call. I mean, it was packed. And sure enough, you know, nothing happened there. And as we're standing at the door to, everybody's leaving. Brother Hiles and I are standing there, and Dad's walking out the door, and they just start talking. I introduce them, you know, and they're talking. And all of a sudden, they're gone. I said, where's Brother Hiles? You know, he's supposed to stand here and shake hands with the mayor and everybody, you know. But he's with my dad. And about 25 minutes later, they come out in the hallway, and Dad comes out and says, "I just trusted Jesus as my Savior." I'm just telling you, folks, you don't try to figure this stuff out, okay? Don't try to figure it out. Bathe that request in prayer. Bathe it in prayer. Beg God. You say, "Yeah, but this guy's tough." I don't know anybody tougher than my dad, honestly. I've never seen anyone any tougher than my dad. I've been a preacher for a lot of years now, and I've witnessed to some tough people. I've been cussed out by the best of them. But I'm telling you, God can break through. There's power before that prepares the hearer, and then there's power while you're talking. And we talked about that recently as well. A power for you to say the right things. But it isn't even the right thing. I know people who've totally botched up on a soul-winning visit, and people got saved. We had somebody one time, I remember this happened several times, but one person was so shook up when they were visiting with somebody. They were in their house. They went to leave, and the person was just being rude. They were standing in a little foyer area, and the person, I'm not interested in all this stuff, and I don't want to hear it. And the person turned to go, and they walked in the closet. I mean, I've had people, they know what they're supposed to say, and they know, they've got it all, and I'm not against training and all that, but finally they just said, are you saved? You're supposed to kind of break the ice. Are you saved? And the person said, no, but I sure want to be. And you just don't know, folks. It's God's power. And we've forgotten about God's power as you speak, and then God's power to convict. God's power. This isn't the message. This is the whole introduction. Ye shall receive, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And that's why we're left behind. To tell what we know. To tell what has happened to us. To tell how it happened to us. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I was kind of calculating things up here recently, and I suppose throughout the week we have about 50 people that go soul winning. Should be 150. Church this size. But I mean, I'm thrilled. We have teenagers that go soul winning. We have every week now for the last, where's Caleb? How many weeks has it been we've had somebody saved?
4 weeks in a row.
All right. So praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. But it ought to be happening more so. And we ought to be seeing more of this. Do you know the church at Jerusalem, in 6 months, they went from 65,000 to 250,000? That's not because of people. That's God's power. God's power. And all it requires is this thing called witness. Okay? He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. And I want to talk about that in light of the fact that ye shall receive power. Number one, what hinders witnessing? Now, understand, if you're saved today, you are a witness. Something has happened to you. And all you need to do is tell somebody about that. God says he will empower you to do that. Number one, what hinders that, though? And I think for everybody, there are different things. The first thing I think that hinders that is fear. For some, it's afraid that they're going to say the wrong thing. And I'll be honest with you, it seems like there are many wrong things you could say. And I think I've said the wrong thing before. And I'm sure everybody in this room who is a soul winner has said the wrong thing before. Fear, but understand this. God hath not given you the spirit of fear. So where do you think fear comes from? Yeah, it comes right from the devil. And you say, I'm afraid they'll point out a weakness in my life. I remember one of the first times I went soul winning in Bern, Indiana. Our church had just started. We started a soul winning class on Wednesday night. Our Wednesday night service was soul winning class. And the people didn't know any different. They hadn't been saved as long as some of you. Anyway, they didn't know any different. And so they just came and they learned how to be soul winning. They thought that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, I told them the first time they came, now you need to get baptized. They all got baptized. I said, you need to start tithing. I wouldn't say they all started tithing. But anyway, they did eventually. And we just started doing that. And I remember I went soul winning with a guy that had just gotten saved at our first service. And he smelled like a cigarette. You know why? Because he still smoked. He didn't just still smoke. He smoked a lot. And so here he is in my car, and we're going to go soul winning. And I'm sitting there, I can't hardly breathe because of my asthma. And I'm thinking, I wonder what everybody's going to think. They're going to think this is a smoking preacher. But the thing is, we went and we gave the gospel out. Amen. And we witnessed for the Lord. Don't let fear keep you from talking to those loved ones. Don't let fear stop you at work. Don't let fear keep your neighbors lost and on their way to hell. Sometimes we're afraid of failure. We're somehow afraid that well, I'm going to fail. And the truth is, none of us wants to fail. And we certainly don't want to fail God. But you understand, the longer you do nothing is the longer you take the keys that God gave us through His authority and you hide them and you render them totally, totally ineffective. Is the seed yet in the barn? Seed in the barn doesn't do any good. You got to get out and scatter that seed. And again, this idea of failure. You know, Adoniram Judson went many, many years on the mission field without a convert. Who would say he was a failure? Huh? He was a witness. Again, it's our task is to tell what we witness. Our task is to say what it was that God did to us. As He saved, that's what a witness does. And we need to make our fears a matter of prayer. You say, I'm just afraid to stand in front of people. I'm terrified of people. And then you know, pray about that. Pray about that. I'm amazed how many introverts are in the independent fundamental Baptist churches. I mean, they're just introverts. They're just really, really quiet and calm, and except at a basketball game. Watching a football game. It's amazing how well they witness to that referee. I'm just saying fear is a problem. But God says, I'll give you power. And I would think His power could overcome our fear. He just wants you to get out there. Okay? Just get out there. Get you a bunch of tracts and start handing them out to people. And you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how you recognize His power. You know what's often amazing? This has happened many, many times. It happened to me on times when maybe I'm a little backslid or something, maybe not feeling like this or something, and somebody says, what must I do to be saved? Now, they don't say it in those words, but they might as well. I mean, it's like they're taking a baseball bat and hitting you in the head. Hey! Would you talk to me about the Lord? Amen. It's God's power. Hey, look, this is... Do you think souls are important to Him? Amen. Fear is a problem. Unconcern is a problem. Really, the most exciting time, I think, in the church is altar call time. For many, many reasons, but it is an exciting time. It's an exciting time and should be the most exciting time. Some folks, you know, it's like you say, well, I'm just bored. It's because you're not concerned. That's why churches stop the altar call. Do you understand that? That's why so many have shut it down. There is no altar. I mean, most churches in America today don't have an altar call. I mean, it started off where they said, you know, it's just taking too much time. People want to get home. They want to watch TV. They want to get to the restaurant first and meet the Methodists and everything. And because that's really important, getting to the restaurant. And, so they stop having, they say, but if you do have a need, go to the prayer room and we'll take care of the prayer, your need in the prayer room. And a lot of them started doing that. I'm talking about Baptist churches. I'm thinking of one right now that right now on Wednesday night they run 10. That's a church used to run 200 on Wednesday night. Now they're running 10. They shut down the altar call. They started having a little prayer room you go off to. And but again, you know, don't blame the pastor because so many people just don't care. Folks, we should be concerned. Now here's how you pray for that. God, I pray you will help me be concerned. Help me be concerned. Help me be concerned about our people right here. That's what's happening at the altar call. That's what's going on at the altar call. When is the last time you watched people going forward and you prayed for them? See, it's crucial. Unconcern is a problem that is... Folks are going to hell because we're not concerned. God says, I'll give you power if you'll be a witness. Ignorance of the word. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. It's not talked about much. You know, the heartbeat of a church like this is souls getting saved. Amen. We see people get saved week after week after, but unfortunately, you know, sometimes we don't find out why. And we're not confident in the Word of God in our with our soul winning and our witnessing, you know? We're ignorant of the Word of God. I'm this King James Bible issue, which it isn't even an issue here because we know what it is. We know the King James Bible is the Word of God, and we're not worried about that. I have never seen a soul winner with an NIV. I've never had one approach my house anyway. I've never had one with a New American Standard. They may be out there. You start getting this idea that maybe it's just a book. But as I preached this morning, He has the authority. This is His Word. This is the King's letter, and we need to really believe that. That's why you got some cute illustration. I'm glad you have the illustration, but nothing replaces the Word of God for power. Because He said, my word will not return void. I mean, He's going to use it if you give it out. Folks, we need to give it out. Sin is another reason why, or a hindrance to witnessing. Sin, in other words, because our lives are so sinful, I'll be honest with you, I've stood on doorsteps before, not right with God. And all of a sudden, God reminded me of something, and I thought, "What am I going to tell these people?" Because you're alone all of a sudden, and that happens enough, and you finally just say, "I'm not going to do this anymore." There's folks all over this room used to knock on doors, go soul winning, teach a Sunday school class, work a bus ministry. Is it sin? Maybe the fear of being called a hypocrite because they find out about your sin. I don't know. But obviously the biggest hindrance is Satan himself. And I find that soul winning day or soul winning night or soul winning time, or you just decided, hey, I'd like to go out and go soul winning, or I've got some tracks and I want to hand them out to some people. And, he's constantly messing with you. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Satan hindered us because he hates it. Car quits running. It's raining. Your nose is running, whatever. And understand, the devil hates it when you tell people, when you're a witness. He hates it. He absolutely hates it. And he also knows the only way he can stop it, are you listening, is to keep you on your couch. That's it. He can't stop it any other way because God said, I'll give you power. Yes. Amen. You say, yeah, but preacher, I stutter. And you'd be amazed how many stuttering people have led people to Christ. You'd just be absolutely amazed. Because it's not your words, it's not your looks, it's not your cute stories, it's not your cute illustrations. It's His power. He saved us. Mark prayed at the opening of the service. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Go back in your mind to the one that told you. He probably wasn't perfect. Oh, they probably were just folks. Was anybody here led to the Lord by Carl Hatch? Anybody? I don't see any hands going up. I wasn't either. Nobody led to the Lord by Carl Hatch? How about Brother Hiles? Did Brother Hiles lead any of you to the Lord? How about John R. Rice? No? Folks, wasn't it? Just folks. How many of you were led to the Lord by a bus captain? Wow, I thought there would be some. How many of you were, okay, there's one. How many were led to the Lord by a Sunday school teacher? Okay, several. How many were led to the Lord by your parents? Okay, several there. Just folks, right? And the truth of the matter is, they probably stuttered some. Look, I'm just saying this. We pass lost people day after day after day. Best soul winning in the world is to be a soul conscious Christian with tracks in your pocket or in your purse and getting them out there and just letting people know, hey, read this. It'll tell you how you know for sure you're going to heaven. Sometimes you'll get stopped and somebody will say, really? Well, that's interesting. Don't walk away. God has appointments in our lives that if we just pay attention to what's going on, don't let the devil hinder you from being the witness that you're supposed to be. Number two is what makes a witness. First of all, a witness is simply someone who tells what he knows. A witness in a courtroom, we talked about the courtroom today, and the witness in the courtroom, he knows something, and they call him up to tell what he knows about that thing. And a witness for the Lord is just, hey, look, if you're saved, you know something most of the world does not know. I mean, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know you're going to heaven, or you should know it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Who's that written to? Those who believe on the name of the Son of God. That's Christians. And he says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And so you know that. Wouldn't you like others to know that? And again, you don't have to beat people over the head with it. You just are there to witness. You say they don't want to hear it. Okay, then you walk away. Well, here's a tract then. If you don't have time, here's a tract. Would you read this when you get a chance? Thank you. I appreciate that. But we're not doing that. And we need to do that. And our tracts, people ought to know what our tracts say. Amen? I mean, our tracts, it ought to be the most popular thing out here. I don't care if somebody says, oh, brother, one of their tracts, good. I used to like getting the calls, you know. Somebody wrapped a tract in toilet paper in a bathroom. Amen. Good. Great place to read. I've pastored people that actually, I mean, seriously, they wrapped them in the roll. And the roll was a little lumpy, but they'd have two or three tracts in a roll at different intervals. But see, to be a witness, you need to be saved. You need to know yourself that you're saved. And I said this recently, and I really believe this with all my heart. Stay very, very close to your salvation experience. Amen. Tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. Well, people are bored. No, just tell it. Tell it for you. Amen? I mean, tell it for you. I'm excited. I've got four fellows that are taking my preaching or Bible teaching class, whatever you want to call it, in our school. And one of the things that I'm going to be stressing to them, and I was just writing down some different notes and everything, is if you're not excited about it, why would the listener be excited about it? And you know what? If you're going to tell folks how to be saved, you're going to have to do it in a way that's going to convince them, not like, well, you know, you ought to get saved. Because you'll find joy. I'll tell you, if you tell them the way you look when you're singing sometimes, they'll go the other way. But you just need to be saved. Okay? Well, preacher, you know, I'd like to be a soul winner. I'd like to talk to folks. I've got relatives that are lost, but I didn't go to Bible college. You don't have to go to Bible college. In fact, that might ruin you. What you really need to do is you just need to tell what you know. That's what you do. Tell what you know. Brother Larry's got the Abundant Pardon Prison Ministry, and really a lot of his laymen, they're not preachers, but they're saved. And they can get up, bless God, in front of a bunch of prisoners and tell them, hey, here's how you get saved. They'll word it in a way that others might not. They'll just, you know, it's from the Word of God. It's using His Word. And most importantly, it's His power. And people get saved every week. Every week. You need to be saved. You need to be dedicated. Dedication makes a witness. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Make yourself available, folks. Be a dedicated, soul-conscious Christian. Lord, what appointment do you have? Don't you, you know, get up in the morning and say, God, do you have an appointment for me? Is somebody there right now wondering how they're going to make it? Is somebody going to cross my path that's about to commit suicide? Is somebody, you know, going to come into the store where I work or one of my coworkers and their life is a wreck and they need the truth and God, you're going to help me to cross their path? Please, God, please, whatever you want me to do, give me your power. to do it. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need folks that are dedicated to being soul conscious. Compassion makes a witness. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When is the last time you wept over that lost loved one? When's the last time you wept over that coworker? When's the last time? Our men's prayer meeting, by the way, we had 17 in our men's prayer meeting tonight. Praise God for that. But I've watched our men, I've seen them, talking about coworkers, people they work with that are lost, and I've seen the tear, and I've known there's been some early morning hours praying for some coworkers. Amen. Compassion, it makes all the difference in the world. Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. Preacher, I just don't know what would get me to make that first step. Compassion. Compassion will do it. Because compassion, you don't care about whether you stutter. Compassion doesn't care if you're wearing, you know, the fanciest clothes. Compassion doesn't care if you're going to, you know, be able to say everything exactly and perfectly right. Compassion, they see your heart and that you care. What is it that brings in the bus kids? Well, for people I talk to who are no longer kids, who have kids, and some of them have kids, it was a fellow named Mr. Jenkins who just loved them. It's the Baileys who just love me. They just love me. I just know. Why do you come to church? Well, people love me there. Compassion. We lose compassion when we're not close to the Lord. I talked about that last week. We need to be so close to God. Because you lose compassion. You lose His heartbeat. You lose what He cares about. You lose compassion when you're focused too much on yourself. It's hard to have compassion for someone else when you're looking at your own problems. But I'll be honest with you, when you start looking at other people's problems, you tend to forget your own problems. One of the best cures in all the world for your own problems, your own heartache, your own depression, your own whatever you might want to call that, is to have compassion for someone else. Amen. We get too concerned for our own things being done our own way. And we lose compassion. Just good old compassion. And we certainly lose compassion when we're worldly. And we get so wrapped up in the world, and we don't see the needs of people. How do you gain compassion? You read the Word of God. You pray. You look at others and their needs. I've mentioned before, get out your church directory and just look through the pictures. I'll tell you one of the things that will jump right out at you. 2007 was the last church directory. And it will jump out at you as you start on the first pages. How many folks have gone on to heaven? I couldn't believe it. Just kind of glancing through. Wow. They're in heaven. They're in heaven. And by the way, when they went to heaven, they left somebody behind who's hurting, who thinks about them, who will have a Mother's Day without them, a Father's Day without them, a Christmas without them, an anniversary without them. Compassion makes a big difference. And it makes a big difference to those who are lost. You know, we're not trying to get them into our church, although that is part of the Great Commission. But there's something bigger than that, and that is getting them saved. Amen. And on their way to heaven. Pray, pray, pray for God to give you compassion. Pray for the world. That's this missions conference. That's what it's always about. Always. You know, praying, being focused on a world around us that's dying and going to hell. And it's not just poor people. We always have our hearts touched when a missionary shows, these poor villagers. And man, we've got poor villagers right here in Adrian, Michigan. But it's not just poor people, it's lost people. Pray for them. I close with this last question, and that is, why should we witness? Well, first of all, it's commanded. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be. So I'm God didn't call me to. Oh, yes, He did. Amen. Ye shall be. Now, that doesn't mean your niche happens to be, just knocking on every door in Adrian. I'm saying somewhere along the line, you are a witness, and you are to be a witness, and you need to be that witness unto Him, unto Jesus. Hey, I'm a Christian. I want everybody to know. Hey, I give out gospel tracts. I want you to know that. You say, preacher, the problem with giving out gospel tracts is then people watch us. I know, that is a problem, isn't it? And that's back on page one, on one of the hindrances. It's our own sin as to why we don't give out tracts. Well, I don't want to be an embarrassment. Then get right with God. Amen. Then just get right with God. Commanded, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now, it's wonderful. We will do great things this coming week for our missionaries. And it is such a blessing to watch. I don't know of anybody doing what we do here. These mission groups, mission leaders, work done throughout the year. It is an unbelievable thing. It's talked about among missionaries, believe me. And it's a great thing. But please, please, please don't think that's it. Around the corner, around the world. Yeah, don't forget around the corner. God commanded that we be witnesses. Commanded. How about just gratitude? Notice Psalm 40 and verse 2, Psalms, the 40th Psalm. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Paul said, I am debtor to both the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. He said, I owe them a debt. But we owe God a debt. And He left us here to be a witness. Why should we witness? Well, it's commanded. Why should we witness? Well, we should show our gratitude. Why should we witness? Because we see that folks are going to hell. That's why we should witness. My Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's condemned already. I'm amazed how many times we'll say, well, I don't want to turn them off. You cannot send them more to hell than they're already going. And you won't turn them off if you have compassion. And if you understand you have God's power, and you just give them the Word of God. You know what you're doing? You're helping somebody. They may not get saved when you talk to them. But there's the sowers, there's the waterers, and there's the reapers. And you may be a sower. You may be watering what somebody else sowed. But you just, folks, we need to be the witness that God has made us. And we need to use the power that God has given us. You say, I can't do much. You can hand out tracts. You don't even have to say a whole lot. Sir, would you read this when you get an opportunity? Here, I'd like to have you read this. I'm not interested in that. Okay, well, somebody will be. Here, would you like to? And you just, because you don't know. I think there were four people that had a part in my salvation. I think when we get to heaven, there will be four people that had a direct part in my salvation. Not one, four. Direct, and there were probably a lot of indirects. There were probably a lot of people praying for the long-haired hippie freak. I'm sure they didn't say that when they prayed. Oh, God, bless the freak. They might have. But directly, there were four people. And do you know that not one of those four was there when I finally bowed my head and prayed and asked Jesus into my heart? Not one of them. Not one of those people. In fact, it is possible that some that were concerned about the long-haired hippie freak, they don't even know that I'm saved to this day. Because they just were passing through. But they all had a part, and guess who keeps track? And all they had to do is just be a witness with His power. Now please, you be that witness with His power. Let's bow our heads, please. We will do wonderful, wonderful works for missionaries. We will send them to the uttermost part of the earth. But what about around the corner? What about our neighbors, our neighborhoods, our town, our bus route, our families, loved ones, co-workers? I beg you tonight to say, God, let me be, I want to be a witness for You. With Your power. I never want to go on my own. I don't want to use my own words. God, I just want Your power. Please help me to be available so You can use Your power in my life. Father, bless the invitation now. I do pray for Your guidance and direction in our lives. We're looking forward to a great week next week. We're looking forward to being a blessing to missionaries and looking forward to them going where You've burdened their hearts and where You've called them to go, and hearing about many, many souls being saved. But I pray that You'll do that, but that You'll also work in our hearts, our lives here, that we might have the power of God on our witnessing, that You might prepare hearts because we pray, that You might empower us as we speak, and that we might see the power of God in conviction of those who are lost, and that You'll save them. Bless now our invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments play. God speak into your heart, and you have a decision. You need to make something you'd like to pray about. You come as God leads. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open if you have a decision to make. Still time to pray.
Amen. All right. Don't forget all the activities of the week. A lot of things going on. Deacons Thursday night, 7 o'clock. And a couple of soccer game, volleyball game Tuesday. And then state line tournament on Friday and Saturday. Our soccer team's looking good. And I'm excited about that. Brother Chase doing an excellent job his first year and all his assistants. It seems like half the church is his assistants. But and then there's all the people that offer assistance like the pastor. But anyway, he's doing a good job, and the boys are doing a good job, and we're proud of him, and it's good. Brother Crossman, good to have you here. Would you close in prayer for us, please? Thank you.